Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Micah Solomon has been named by the Financial Post as a new guru of customer service excellence. He is a top keynote speaker and consultant on customer service issues, the customer experience, and company culture. A successful entrepreneur, he co-authored the best-selling Exceptional Service, Exceptional Profit. His expertise has been featured in Fast Company, Inc. magazine, Bloomberg Businessweek, Forbes.com, NBC, and ABC television programming. And elsewhere, his latest book, published by Amicom, a division of the American Management Association, is High Tech, High Touch Customer Service. Micah, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you so much.
Has anything changed in the balance of power between customers and businesses lately? And if so, what has changed and how has it changed?
Customers have many more choices in many areas. I mean, there are a few exceptions. There's probably fewer typewriter repair persons at this point. But in most areas, customers have more choices. And in addition, they have a much louder megaphone. They feel much more empowered. And this is because of Twitter. It's because of email. It's because of Yelp. And they expect a company to make itself easy to contact and to respond to comments at a high and thoughtful level. And I've got to suggest that you do that because the feedback is going to be offered whether you welcome it or not.
As an add-on question, do you think companies should go so far as to reorganize themselves to provide for that immediate customer conversation?
That's exactly right. So the famous classic case of empowering frontline workers to respond to customer issues is the Ritz-Carlton, which, going all the way back to the 1980s, has allowed every full-time employee to have up to $2,000 worth of discretionary power to solve any guest problem. But now, in the age of Twitter, this approach is so much more important because maybe a customer will give you one chance to solve it. But if that frontline person doesn't have the power to solve it, the next call may not be to a manager. The next call may actually be 140 very frustrated characters on Twitter.
And what are some trends you see in customer expectations?
Customers these days feel much more empowered in the relationship with the companies. They feel is much more in their favor. In addition, many customers are more ecologically oriented. So if a business thinks that it's going to make a defective product and then make a customer happy by comping them some additional product, that might not be a solution that pleases the customer because the customer is thinking about the carbon footprint. There is a strong desire for self-service because we are in such a 24/7 economy, because people have very busy lives, because some younger people are more comfortable working with machines than talking with humans.
We hear these almost mythic stories, recent stories about how some of the big brands have completely and utterly failed on social media. I won't mention any names now, just Google anything on big failures in social media for big brands and you'll find a whole bunch of war stories. But I'm going to flip that over a little bit and say, do you find customers a little bit more forgiving of what they perceive to be a smaller company?
I think so. There have been a bunch of studies that the majority of comments on a Facebook page for a smaller company are actually positive. Having said that, there are customers out there who have no understanding of the damage that they can do to you over social media. The important thing for businesses to realize is don't compound that damage by reacting in anger, because you'll just make it worse.
Let's talk a little bit about social media. Let's go deeper on that, actually. Does every customer-centered company really need to have a Twitter account, a Facebook page, a Google Plus circle, and a blog, I mean, on top of their company website?
Ideally, you will be concentrating a lot of your content in one or two places because that's best for search engine optimization. But for smaller businesses, actually, just a little tip, Google Plus is a very helpful way to improve your SEO at this point. And I think what you're getting at is how much of this social media does even a small company need to pursue? And the main idea in my mind is to make sure you are very easy to contact. Mm-hmm. At the end of your frequently asked questions, don't just say, did this answer your question? Yes, no. If the answer is no, it didn't answer your question, have a box that pops up that says, oh my heavens, we're so sorry, we'll answer this for you in person, type in your email. My feeling about all of this is that nobody would tell their friend via Twitter
right.
that your fly's unzipped. They would come up to you and say, I think you got a little problem there.
We're kind of approaching that point, I think. I'm being jaded.
Well, if they do tell you on Twitter or they never tell you, it just proves you have no friend. But if you have friends, they will tell you in person, directly. When customers feel like they're not friends of the company, that the company really doesn't want to hear from them and won't get back to them if they do contact the company directly, that's when things really get out of control on social media.
What are some effective relationship-saving ways to respond to customer complaints in the Twitterverse or another forum for such user-generated content?
The first thing is to limit the need for it. To a lot of the comments you'll see on Yelp or TripAdvisor, the negative ones, they start out almost like a formula. I tried to contact the manager, never heard back, so I am reluctantly trashing you. It shouldn't get to that point. And certainly some people go straight to the trash mode without that. But
sure.
It shouldn't get to that point if you can help it. That is principle one. Principle two is if there is something negative in social media, think of the fiasco formula. The fiasco formula is very simple. It's a small problem that's complained about online that you let fester. So small problem plus time equals fiasco. And you just have to settle your Google alerts for the name of your company, for any misspellings of the name of your company, so that you will hear right away if something goes wrong and you can nip it in the bud. If someone does post something negative, the best thing to do is to try to contact them directly. If they follow you on Twitter, you can send them a direct message and then try to turn it into an offline conversation. And above all else, try hard not to argue with them. The old rule that you can never win an argument with the customer is still true, but now you can lose many times over with all their quote-unquote friends online.
How has technology changed what customer service means today?
It's changed expectations dramatically. People want things much, much faster. If you think about how companies used to be able to have almost nothing in stock and they'd special order it for you, well, forget that now because I can order something at 8 p.m. or 7:59 p.m. and have it the next morning via Amazon. The brilliant uses of technology by companies like, and I know this is one of the ones you were thinking of in a negative light, but brilliant uses of technology by companies like Netflix or Amazon to direct you to the product you wanted to order but didn't know, or to the movie that you really will enjoy next, have led to people feeling that things should be much more intuitive than they used to be. One downfall of technology has been that we're losing the power of the tone of voice on a phone or full three dimensions that you have when you work face-to-face with someone.
Although your book probably is not spending too much time in this realm, have you noticed a fall off in the capability, I will say, of telephone customer service?
I haven't noticed that. I think that there are wide varieties in the quality of the telephone service. I mean, Zappos is very proud. Other companies that are very good in the email front are absolutely disastrous on the phone. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going in many directions at once.
And last question here. How can technology make the challenge of cultivating customer loyalty easier?
Well-designed technology can make you more anticipatory. And anticipatory customer service is what truly builds an engaged, loyal customer base. So every 10th of the month, I get an email from my credit card company that says, your credit card will be due in 10 days. Now, it's not like the date my credit card is due ever changes, but they have anticipated that I will forget. And so they're taking care of me. There is technology from IBM that if you're in a dressing room and you're wearing particular, I think it's a particular sport jacket, it will suggest ties that are complementary to the sports jacket. So it's anticipating what you might want, not necessarily just to sell you additional things, but to make the customer experience smoother and to feel more like you're in a home with caring people taking care of you.
This is pretty exciting stuff. We've been speaking to Micah Solomon. He's author of a new book, High Tech, High Touch Customer Service. Micah, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Are you responsible for creating online content that connects with customers? AMA's new hands-on writing program offers skills, tools, and professional instructor feedback to help you improve your online content and bottom-line results. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 2182 into the search box. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.